How many of you know we're so blessed to have the talent we have in our church?
Amen.
Amen. So blessed. Thank God for all those that serve in the area of music. Before I get into the message this morning, I have a card. Your kindness and concern have meant so very much and will always be remembered. Dear Northview family, thank you so much for the flowers for Dad's service. Also, thank you for all the cards, prayers, visits, food, and concern during and after Dad's illness. It was a hard road to go down, but Dad is at peace and with the Lord. Much thanks and love, Rose and her family. Amen. Got a beautiful family, Rose. Amen. If you will, take God's word, and let's go to the book of Luke this morning. Last week, we started a brand new series on release, dealing with the topic that whom the Son sets free is free indeed. We're talking about freedom. Last week, we discussed bondage that the enemy would like to put us in, that his desire is to keep us in bondage. And you remember when Jesus came to earth, the first thing he encountered was the temptation. And the scripture tells us that Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. And that we need to understand and realize there is a presence of evil in this world that we need to deal with. You remember last week I told you that in the New King James Version, demons are mentioned 82 times. In the King James Version, 80 times. And in the Gospel, 61 times. Does it refer to demons as Jesus was working against them or coming against them? And so we need to understand that there is an enemy. If you don't believe there's an enemy, I don't know what planet you're on, because the evil is abounding. But grace doth more abound. Amen. Jesus wins every time, but it is not the will of God that we walk in ignorance. It's the will of God that we walk in knowledge. This week I was startled again. The news is just, Satan is so bold in this last hour. You might have heard also the news where two teenagers, one was 18 and the other I think was like 13, who stabbed and killed their entire family. From a five-year-old right on up, killed the entire family. And they said it was just horrific scene, to the point that blood was running on the front doorstep. Now, when you read things like this, it becomes real. It's happening in a world today. You say, well, how in the world can somebody do that? You remember last week we talked about possessed, that the Greek describes that it's two different meanings. One, of course, is when we belong to God, the devil cannot have me and God. Amen. God is my God. He's my source. But we did understand that it could influence, that it can manipulate, that it can try its best. And so we need to be aware. And if you're not having trouble with the enemy in some way, you need to really check yourself, because there's only two ways, God's way and the enemy. Amen? There's no in between. You either for me or, what does he say, against me. And so I want us to go to the book of Luke, because we need to be aware. The thought I want to get across to you today is that we need to be aware of open doors, avenues that the enemy can slide in and begin to influence us. You remember I told you that he can influence you to the point that you're out of character. You ever heard of someone that done something totally out of character? And you say, I never dreamed they would do totally out of character, because the influence and the power of the enemy is very strong, and you are no weapon. You are no weapon for that other than God. God is your weapon of defense. But in your mind and your mentality, He proved in the garden that our mind and mentality alone cannot defeat him. Amen. It takes the word of God. So, my responsibility is when God begins to lead me in areas like this, is to make you aware of where we are. Now, I want to begin to talk about open doors. And I want you to think about this thought. Last week we had a thought that, is it possible for a Christian to be possessed? So we explained that. We understand that now about the difference. Now I want to ask you another question this morning. Do we grant Satan permission to bring us into bondage? Think about it. Do we grant permission? Now our first response say, absolutely not. But when you begin to examine things in our lives, you know, our grandparents knew more than we think they know. Isn't it amazing that when we were young, our parents didn't know anything, but as we get older, we recognize they knew everything. But our grandparents used to teach us and try to tell us to be separate from the world. They tried to teach us not to do everything the world does. You remember that? Not to listen to everything and look at everything. You know, we just thought they were just crazy. But I want you to know they had an insight that we need to gain today. You can't open yourself up to everything. Because it is possible to open yourself up to doors and bondage creep in your life. It is possible to be saved and yet in bondage. So I want to talk about the bondage of pride this morning. The open door of pride. As one said, I'm proud to say that I don't have a problem with pride. Pride is something that when we begin to talk about it, our first response is, well, that's not me. I don't have any problem with that. I'm not prideful. But be careful. As we go through this, you may change your mind. I want to go to the book of Luke chapter 22. One thing I love about studying God's word, one thing we do In the Christian vernacular is that we take a lot of things for granted and we don't study the word ourselves. Talking about Peter, and when Peter denied the Lord and all that, we pretty much know all that story. But God carried me back there and said, I want you to understand, Peter's problem was pride. Now Peter loved God. He loved him. But Peter suffered with pride. But if you'd ask Peter, do you have a problem with pride? And absolutely not. All right, let's look at Luke chapter 22, and I want to pick up on verse 31. Now, I'm going to read a lot of scripture today, so I want you to stay with me. And this scripture here, one of our problems is it's very familiar to us, so don't let your mind relax because he wants to speak to us. How many of you know that we'll never learn all what God has for us to learn? There's always something to learn. So he said, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon. Remember, I've told you before, when you hear two words, when it comes, God is saying, I want your attention. Behold, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you. Well, now what Jesus is trying to say is that Simon, or Peter, I want you to understand, you need to be aware that there may possibly be open doors in your life that Satan can slide in. He wants to sift you as wheat. Look what he said, verse 32. But I prayed for you. Now Jesus, the Son of God, is talking to Peter. But I prayed for you that your faith fail not. And look what Jesus says now. And when thou art converted. Now what's Jesus saying? You're going to fail. You're going to fail. But when you're converted, strengthen your brethren. You're going to go through something, and it's going to devastate you, but you're going to learn from it. And out of learning from it, you're going to help somebody. And he said unto the Lord, look at verse 33. I am ready to go with thee both in the prison and to death. That sounds real good. Now, verse 34. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock's going to crow three times before thou shalt thrice deny and thou knowest me. And he said unto him, when I sent you without purse and scrip and shoes, like anything, and they said nothing. So I don't want to read all, I don't want to take time to read all that, but you know what's going on. But I want you to notice in verse 31, it said, the Lord said, Simon, Simon, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Now, when you get to really understand the word of God, you've got to go back to the Greek. Because Greek is a very hard language to learn. We had to do it in school, and that was one of the hardest languages that I ever had to deal with. And to say I am fluent in that, it would be not true, because it's hard. But if I study the word of God and I need to know exactly what is being said, I got to study that. For that verse right there, it said, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you. Now, desire is another term for the word ask. In the Greek, it means ask. And what it means is to ask for something to receive what one has asked for. Another translation says, to ask for with success, to ask and receive. So Satan is asking for permission to have Peter. Now, I want you to understand this. In a New American Standard version, it says Satan has demanded permission. Now, I want you to understand that we are created free moral agents. God does not make us serve him. God does not make us worship him. He wants us to, but he doesn't make us to. How many of you understand that? So we have a will. And so Satan went before God and he says, I want Peter. Now, Satan saw an open door in Peter. Luke does not record the whole conversation, but Matthew, Mark, and John do prior to this. I want to read that to you. Go with me to the book of Mark. You got to stay with me now. This is not a good day to sleep. Sleep this afternoon. Mark chapter 14. Turn to the woman side of you. Don't sleep today. Tell them, don't sleep today. Amen. Amen. Don't sleep today. This is good. Mark chapter 14. I love the Gospels, the Synoptic Gospels, but there are differences in some of the ways that they interpret. But Mark chapter 14, I want to pick up. Let me see. My Bible don't have a Mark 14. Yeah, it does. Mark chapter 14, verse 27. Mark chapter 14, verse 27. And Jesus saith unto them, talking about all that's around him, Peter's in the crowd. Jesus telling them, all you shall be offended. Another translation is saying, I mean, Mark chapter 14, verse 27. He's saying that you are going to go through a temptation and all of you are going to deny me. Peter's standing there in the crowd. All of you are going to deny me. Now, we say we don't have pride. I don't have any pride. I can sleep good today because I don't need that sermon. But listen. All you will be offended of me this night. For it is written. Now, he's referring to prophetic word. Amen. How many of you know Jesus is the word? Jesus is the word. He's God incarnated in the flesh. He's God speaking through human form. We understand that, right? In Revelation, it's talking about, he gives the Old Testament revelation here. I will smite the shepherd and the sheep shall be scattered. That's the word. But after that I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee. Now what's he saying? He's prophesying to them what's about to happen. But look at the next verse, verse 29. But Peter said, although all shall be offended. Now, what did Jesus just say? Jesus just said, every one of you be aware of open doors. Don't any of you think that you're above the temptations of the enemy. Don't any of you think that you are greater than the enemy, because if you're not careful, he can slide in. Isn't that what he's saying? That's basically what he's saying. Okay? Now Peter stands there and he hears all this. He says, ho, ho, ho. All. Peter said unto him, although all. And Jesus is standing there, the Son of God now, God incarnate in the flesh. Peter, what part of all don't you understand? You know, we say, well, you know, we hear somebody say, well, they're struggling with this addiction, or they're struggling with this, or I don't know what their problem is, but I ain't never going to have that problem. You be careful. Amen. Why does God say don't judge one another? Why does he say don't judge one another unless you be judged with the same judgment? You know what the word says? You know why he says that? So you won't open a door. Because when I point my finger at you and say, oh, I'll tell you one thing, I'm sure never. You know what I'm doing? I'm opening up myself to everything Satan wants to throw at me. Amen. Now, we don't walk around. We talked about last week. We don't walk around scared to death of the devil. We don't walk around. You remember we talked about the skeptic? We talked about the one, you know, that just sees the devil everywhere. But listen, we are warriors. We are soldiers. And soldiers run and operate with intelligence. Amen? Central intelligence. And they operate according to knowledge. They learn the enemy. They know what the enemy eats. They know when the enemy sleeps. They know everything about the enemy. We have military personnel who their main job is to transfer that information to our military so that we can have an advantage. Amen. We understand that. Now, the word teaches us, Jesus said, lest the enemy should get an advantage of us. You remember that scripture? Don't let him get an advantage. So Peter's saying here, everybody else might do this. And Jesus said unto him, verse 30, verily I say unto thee, that this day, Peter, this day, this is good right here. Even in this night, just a few hours from now, before the cock crows thrice, three times, you're going to deny me three times. Do you see that? But he spake the more vehemently. You see Peter talking to Jesus? Jesus telling him, all of you are going to deny me. Peter says, everybody else might deny you, but I'm not going to deny you. And Jesus turns around to Peter and says, Peter, not only are you going to deny me, you're going to deny me three times. Now look what Peter says. Now you know why it's important to read every scripture and put it all together. Amen. But he spake more vehemently. Look at verse 31. Peter was getting mad. It's sort of like when the preacher preaches something or somebody says something that we don't like because it's true, but we don't like it. Amen? Y'all ain't going to say nothing to me this morning. Amen. Out of all these 5,000 people, nobody going to say nothing to me this morning. If I should die with thee. Now, Jesus just told Peter, you're going to deny me. He just said, there's an Old Testament scripture, Peter, that prophesies this. And Peter says, well, God made a mistake. The Bible's made a mistake because I ain't going to deny you. Isn't it amazing? We live in a nation that if you preach something and they don't like it, they just change it. Amen? We just change it. Well, I don't want to hear that no more. Just change the channel. Get me a station I like. Amen. But they don't. How many of you know if you get a station you like, doesn't change anything as far as God's concerned? Truth is still truth. Now, the devil wants you to believe a lie. The devil wants you to believe, just like we talked about last week, oh, there ain't no devil. There ain't no devil. It's just flesh. Just human flesh. You are what you are. You just flesh. Hey, that's exactly what he wants you to believe. Because when he damns you and pulls you into hell with him and you're weeping and gnashing of teeth, you're going to wish that you had listened. Amen? And by the way, there's still a hell. I know that's old fashioned. I know we don't say that no more. But there's still, how many of you believe there's a heaven and how many believe there's a hell? Amen. And men really do go to both places. Peter says, I'm so full this morning, I'm not going to get very far, but anyway, turn to somebody and say, the preacher's full of it. Amen. He spake the more vehemently. If I should die with thee, I will not deny thee anyway. Likewise also said they all. And they came in a place which was named Gethsemane. It goes on. All of you are going to deny me, Jesus said. And Peter says, no. All right, let's go to Matthew. Go with me to Matthew. Matthew chapter 16. I want to show you something here. Matthew chapter 16. I'm just showing you that sometimes we have open doors in our life that we don't realize are there. Matthew chapter 16. I want you to see this. Verse 21. Matthew 16, verse 21. From the time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and the chief priests and scribes. So Jesus was explaining to them what's going to happen. And be killed and raised again the third day. Look at verse 22. Jesus is given revelation. Look at verse 22. I love God. I love his word because he will show you what you need. Look at verse 22. Then Peter took him. You know, I want you to see Peter now. Peter takes Jesus. I just picture my mind by the arm, pulls him to the side, and began to, what's the next word? Rebuke him. Can you imagine rebuking Jesus? Who are you going to rebuke him in the name of who? I mean, you know, we rebuke the devil in the name of Jesus, but I mean, who are you going to rebuke? Peter is so full of pride that he pulls Jesus to the side. Jesus is talking now. He's trying to warn them. He's trying to tell them, I'm going to die on a cross. It's going to be for a reason now, because we're going to break the back of the devil. We're going to destroy his works, but I got to go through a process. Peter's so prideful, he don't want to go through the process. He don't want to hear anything about that. So he pulls Jesus to the side, and look what he said. He rebuked him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. This is not going to happen to you. And look at verse 23. But he turned and said unto Peter. Now, this is good right here. Number one, pride is trusting in your own strength. Number one, three things today. Pride is trusting in your own strength. Peter rebukes Jesus, pulled to his side, and look what Jesus does in verse 23. He turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Now he's talking to Peter, but he's talking to the influence that is influencing Peter, because he knows Peter's heart. He knows that that's not Peter, but he wants to reveal the influence. Do you see that? Get thee behind me, Satan, thou art an offense unto me, for thou, look what it says, savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Boy, that's powerful. That's powerful right there. Get thee behind me. Now, we've heard that preached a lot of times, but Jesus rebukes Satan. Peter is trusting in his own strength. Do you remember when he was in the garden with Jesus and they came to arrest Jesus with all the array of soldiers? Do you remember when Peter pulled his sword out and he cut the man's ear off? You wonder why he cut his ear off? He missed his head. He was trying to kill the man, and there is all kinds of soldiers everywhere. How in the world did he think he could handle all those people? Pride. And then that same night, you remember when Peter denied the Lord, just like Jesus said? Is it quite possible that there are things in our life that we open up to the devil and don't even realize it? Are you a person that can't be told anything? Are you a person that is never wrong? Are you a person that always has to have it your way? Ain't nobody gonna shout me down this morning. But I'm gonna tell you, pride is a sly little fox that'll slide in there. Can't nobody tell me. That's why it's so hard to preach in America today. You wanna know why? Because nobody needs it. Amen. So now we gotta entertain them just to keep them, because the word don't work no more. I'm gonna tell you, if the word don't work, nothing else will. Amen. I love our church. I know, you know, we ain't got but 5,000 today. I understand that. But I love our church. I appreciate it, because you know what? I was thanking God this morning for a place to come that loves the word, that honors the word, that still lifts up the banner of holiness. Amen. I'm glad to be a part of this place, aren't you? Amen. But understand, there are people who are searching for somebody to find them something that they want to hear. So caution, caution, caution. Before I get to my next point. Many mature believers, that doesn't mean age, that just means you can be saved a long time. Many mature believers trust in their own strength. Write this scripture down. 1 Corinthians 10 and 12. Wherefore let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he what? Fall. Be careful trusting in your own strength. All right, quickly, number two. Pride is trusting in your own righteousness. Now, let's go to the book of Job. The book of Job. This is one right here that I thank God for revelation on, because I have always had a question about the book of Job. I know the story. I've heard the story preached just like you have. But I've always had something in there that said something just don't sound right. God just don't snatch people out, throw them before the devil like that. I just never was happy with that answer until I just started getting deeper into the word. And when I began to learn about pride, 33 chapters are involved here. 32 of those chapters are spent with Job's friends. Now let's go to Job chapter 1. Now there was a man, verse 1, in the land of Uz, whose name was Job. That was a perfect and upright, one that feared God and eschewed evil. Now, perfect there is the word that throws everybody off, because he's been portrayed almost like a saint. But he's not. He's a human being just like you and me. And how many of you know there are no perfect human beings in the world? We all have flaws. The book of Job is designed to reveal flaws, not to exhort how great somebody is, because there's only one great, and that's God. Every one of us have flaws. And if we don't recognize it, the enemy can slide in an open door and hinder us. Amen. Turn to the woman beside of you and say, we all got flaws. Did anybody say anything?
How about I'm perfect?
Amen. Okay. Turn to the woman beside of you and say, nobody's perfect. Amen. Now it says here, there were born unto him 7 sons, 3 daughters. We know that. We know all this story. But let's go on down there to verse 6, because I don't want to take time. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also among them. Now let's look at the conversation. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? And Satan said, in other words, the Lord said, what do you want? He says, Satan answered and said, the Lord said, walking up and down it. And the Lord said unto him, Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, perfect, upright man, fears God, eschews evil? Now God is complimenting him, but he's saying, I can't. See, Satan is accusing him of holding a hedge around him. Oh, you like him better than anybody else. God, how many of you know what Satan sees for bad, God going to turn it around? Amen. So, God knows that Job's got some issues. Then Satan answered, said, "Does Job fear you for nothing? Look at verse 10. Hast not thou made a hedge around him?" We know all that. We know all that scripture there. We're going down there to verse 11. But put forth thy hand and touch all that he has, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto him, "Behold, all that he hath is in your power. Upon himself put not forth your hand." So what's God saying? Okay, go ahead. Do what you got to do, but you can't have his life. Now we know that part of the story. So for 32 chapters, Job's friends sit there and say, "Job, what's going on? Do you have open doors in your life?" No. The whole time Job is saying, "I'm this, I'm that, I do this." Righteousness, understand this, nothing you can do makes you righteous. That is a gift from God. Amen. How many of you know that? Grace and mercy are gifts from God. I can't do enough to be holy. God does the work inside of me, and out of return of that, I start living better. I change my life. Yeah, I try to do everything I can. But how many of you know just doing stuff will not build a relationship with God? How many of you know that? Just coming to church, as great as that is, will not save you. Just trying to be a good person will not save you. We cannot build our own righteousness. What does the word say? And Paul was talking about our righteousness is us what? Filthy rags. And so what's going on here? Satan will tell you, "Well, you're a pretty good person. You do this, you do this, you do that." And Job, for 32 chapters, this is where I really didn't understand. His friends, now I didn't like his friends to start with, but as I got more into it, and the reason I didn't like his friends was based on what everybody else was preaching and what everybody else was talking. Now, I still don't like them that much, but they were revealing in him, you must have some open doors in your life. He says, "No, I do this, I do that." So let's go down to chapter 32. This is good right here. Chapter 32. Can you give me a few more minutes? Chapter 32. There's a man by the name of Elihu. Elihu, like Yahoo, but Elihu. He's sitting there and he's listening to all this discourse. Don't you love the Bible? Don't you love it? The Bible tells you everything. It shows everything. He said, "I've sat here for 32 chapters and heard you guys talk back and forth, wondering what in the world's going on." He said, "I'm going to tell you what's wrong with Job." Look what he says. So these three men ceased to answer Job. Look at the next part. This is talking about Job now. "Because he was righteous in his own eyes." That's the Bible. Amen. All this time we thought Job was just one of those angels floating around. He was just so wonderful, so great. No, what God is saying is, Satan is saying, you know, you got picks. You got people that you just like better than others. But I tell you what, every one of them will fall if you let me get to them. And God is basically saying, yeah, you're right, because they can't stand in themselves, and sometimes they have to learn that they can't stand. If you've ever fell on your face before, it changed your attitude, didn't it? Amen? If you ever lost a job or what, went through a sickness or whatever, and then everything got straightened out and everything got better, it changed your whole attitude, because we realize real quick we are not supermen. So for 32 chapters, they ceased to answer Job. I'm just reading you the Bible, church, because he was righteous in his own eyes. Look at verse 2. "Then was kindled in the wrath of Elihu, the son of Barachel, the Buzite, of the kindred of Ram." I read that real slow because who named these people? I don't know. "Against Job," he was mad at Job. "Job, now I've sat here and I've listened to you, and you've said all about how great you are and how wonderful you are, and you've never done this, you've never done that." He said, "I've sat here and I listened to all that. Against Job was his wrath kindled, because he justified," look, what's the next part? "Himself rather than God." Job, I didn't hear you one time say God. Also against his three friends, his wrath was kindled because they had found no answer and yet had condemned Job. So he's kind of getting them all. Thank God for friends that keep us all in balance. Amen. Look at chapter 33, verse 8 and 9. Surely thou hast spoken in mine hearing, and I have heard the voice of thy word saying, I am clean. This is what Elihu is saying to Job. Job, I've heard you talk, and look what he said. I am innocent, neither is there any iniquity in me. Can anybody say there's nothing wrong with me? Can anybody say, ain't nothing wrong with me? Only Jesus. And Lord, I'm telling you, go on down to chapter 36. I love you not to read all this to you, but just to give you some highlights. Chapter 36, verse 3. Second thing about pride is trusting in your own righteousness. Look at chapter 36 and verse 3. I will teach my knowledge from afar and will ascribe righteousness to my Maker. This is what Elihu is saying. Job, here's what I've learned. My righteousness comes from God. Job was righteous in his own eyes because of what he did. Get this. I wrote this down, and I want you to at least remember it. Job was righteous in his own eyes because of what he did, not because of who he knew. I want to say a word, and I bet you hadn't heard it in a long time. Conviction. Do you remember when our grandmas and granddaddies used to say, I'm convicted of that, I can't do that? Anybody remember that? Anybody remember those words? We live in a nation now, nobody's convicted of nothing. But I'm going to tell you something. You cannot be righteous in your own eyes. There's got to be some things in your life that you got to deal with. Now, we are not perfect. Every one of us have something. Now, I'm not going to tell you to name it, but I bet you this week, everybody in here dealt with something in your life this week. How about your tongue? Lord, it's too late to talk about that. Amen. How about anger? You know, it goes on and on. Pride is what we do. Righteousness is what God does. Amen. You remember when Jesus was talking and the Pharisee was in the temple that day and he said, Lord, I just want to stop and thank you that I'm not like these. Do you remember that? Job, for 31 chapters, talked about how righteous he was. Now, let me give you this. I got to give you this because you got to get this. I got 4 minutes. Job chapter 38. I got to read some stuff to you. Then the Lord. Now, I'm going to tell you, when God gets done with you, have you ever had God rebuke you? Anybody ever had God rebuke you? I would whole lot rather all of you whip me than God. Amen. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Man. God is saying, who is this talking that don't know what they're talking about? This is God talking. Gird up now thy loins like a man, and I will demand of thee an answer thou me. Now he said, God's saying, now I'm fixing to give you something. Stand up straight and be a man, because I'm getting ready to put something on you. Verse 4. Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Question mark. Job, you're so great. You're so wonderful. I'm just God. I'm just little old God. I got a couple of questions. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. Job, go for it. I bet I know what I'd have been doing. I'd be all down on the ground. He says, look, I'm just giving you all the Bible. Amen. Verse 5. Who hath laid the measures thereof. By the way, Job, how did you figure out how long to make this and how wide to make that? And how'd you figure that out? Sort of like when you're in class, you remember, I know none of y'all did this, but you may be talking in class and the teacher points you out, says, okay, answer the question. You don't even know what that question is. I know none of y'all did that, but I did it a few times. Amen. And look what God says. This stuff's good right here. Who hath laid the measure thereof, and if thou knowest, or who hath stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations therefore fastened? How you keep it all together? Or who laid the cornerstone thereof? You see that? Now, go to verse 12. Just a few more minutes. Hast thou commanded the morning since the days and caused the day spring to know its place? Job, did you tell the sun when to rise and when to set? Verse 22. Read all this. Verse 22. Hast thou entered into the treasures of the snow, or thou'st the treasures of hail? Job, how did you make it snow? How did you make it hail? Verse 24. God's saying this. But what way is the light parted, which scattereth the east wind upon the earth? How do you make light shine over here and darkness over here? Tell me how you do that, Job. Verse 34. Canst thou lift up thy voice to the clouds, and abundance of the waters may cover thee? Can you make it rain, Job? Go ahead, make it rain. I can. Canst thou send lightning, that it may go and say unto thee, here we are? One translation said, can you make lightning come to the throne and the throne tell it where to go? Man, if I was Job, I'd feel pretty low right now, wouldn't you? Go to chapter 39 real quick. Verse 26, real quick. Doth the hawk fly by thy wisdom and stretch her wings toward the south? Does the eagle mount up at thy command and make her nest on high? Chapter 40, verse 8. Will thou also disannulify judgment? Will thou condemn me that thou mayest be righteous? Beware of open doors. The last thing is, number three, pride is trusting in your own wisdom. Now, I'm not going to take time to read all this, but the scripture is found in 1 Kings chapter 22, verses 7 and 8. You remember the story of Ahab and Jehoshaphat? Ahab was a wicked king. Jehoshaphat was a good king. And Ahab was saying, I want us to go attack Ramoth of Gilead. It's ours. We want to get it. We want to take it back. And Jehoshaphat, he says, come on, I want you to join me. And Jehoshaphat, which is being the good king, says, I think we need to get a prophet in. So Ahab says, no problem. I got prophets on the payroll. So he brings all his prophets in. He says, hey guys, can we go into Ramoth of Gilead and win? And they say, oh yeah, sure. Go right ahead, no problem. Jehoshaphat hears all this and he says, is there another? Is there another one? And he said, yeah, there's another one, but I don't like him. I wish I could read it to you, but I'm running out of time. 2 Kings chapter 22. 2 Kings chapter 22. Can you give me just a minute? Nobody gave me a minute. I got to finish. How many knows the story I'm talking about right now? Amen. Thank you. Anyhow, real quick. Brings in the prophet. And the prophet says, now he'd had this prophet put in jail for 3 years, Ahab did, because he told him the truth. So I don't want to talk to him because he tells me the truth. He don't like me. So he brings him out of prison. He says, can we go in? At first he's kind of facetious, yeah, go ahead. But then Jehoshaphat realizes something's not right, so He said, tell us the truth. Truth is, if you go in, you're going to be scattered. And here comes Ahab. Say, I told you you didn't like me. Listen to this very, 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 very careful. Pride is trusting in your own wisdom. When God tells you something you need to deal with, you need to deal with it. So they didn't listen. Ahab didn't listen. And you know the story, how he went into battle and lost his life. And the blood ran out of his chariot, just like the word had prophesied. We're living in the last days. We're living in days, and listen to this real quick, in the closing moments of this service, that you're going to see things culminate pretty quick now. You're going to see things begin to happen that you've never seen before. When we saw people losing their heads on TV, that was just, but it's going to start more and more because there's a war going on. I don't want you to be fearful, because I want to tell you, God's going to take care of us. God's going to take care of his own. But you need to be aware that there's an enemy out there who wants you to walk in pride, who don't want you to lean to God, but lean to your own understanding. And I want to tell you this, pride is a trap. It's a trap. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet right now. His whole heads are bowed, and I want you to be praying right now. In closing moments of this place, of this service, in this place, is it possible that there are some open doors in your life that you have not yet given to God totally? Or maybe you've given them to God and you still continue to struggle with them, as we talked about last week, and you almost feel like giving up. Let me tell you something. Number one, God loves you. God will take care of you. And God is going to take care of you. No weapon formed against us in this nation or in the government or anywhere else in this world, no weapon formed against us is going to prosper. God's going to take care of his own. This morning, I want you to take the hand of the one beside of you, and I want us to pray a prayer of recommitment to God this morning. Father, we ask you in Jesus' name, as we assemble to get together today in one accord, we put our life on this altar. We ask you, Lord, forgive us of our sins. We ask you, Lord, forgive us of our faults and forgive us of our failures. Lord, forgive us of our pride. Forgive us, Lord, of those times when we don't need you and we push you aside. Forgive us of that, Lord. And Father, we ask you today, we turn to you for wisdom. We turn to you for righteousness. We turn to you for strength today. You are our strength. You're our everything. Today, God, we give it all to you. We lay it all on the altar. Help me, God, that I may be what you want me to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated for the meeting.